Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, July 23rd, 2024. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Firefighters make gains on wildfires in central Idaho. Hydrothermal explosion at Yellowstone causes damage. Garfield County Jail to close after $2.5 million settlement with the family of an inmate who died. Spokane Council votes against resolution to enforce new anti-camping ordinance and Pullman Building Supply to close. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Texas fire in eastern Latah County near Kendrick is 80% contained as of Tuesday afternoon after burning 1,582 acres. An updated incident report says the fire continues to creep and smolder in Duff Fuels, and fire managers have taken some of the crews off the fire. On Monday, there were 190 people working the fire, but that is down to 114 now. The incident report says over the next 3 days, some creeping and smoldering will remain with exceptionally dry fuels. Hot and dry conditions are expected to return. Live fuels will continue to cure and become more available to burn. The weather concerns section of the report says very hot and dry weather is predicted for the few days, with afternoon pop-up thunderstorms containing dry lightning. Relative humidity is very low, and thermal belt conditions at mid-slope in the overnight hours are occurring. Winds are forecast to be moderate, with gusty winds forecast with thunderstorm development. Dry cold front passage expected Thursday. The Texas fire burned 4 homes and 6 outbuildings last week. The Birch Lake fire in central Idaho is now 23% contained and has burned 2,595 acres. Managers of the 464 firefighters working the Birch Lake fire say they will continue with 100% suppression and utilize aviation resources to limit fire growth and support ground resources. The crews at the fire near Stanley will improve control lines on the southeast corner of the fire, utilizing nearby water sources. Resources are moving west, creating and improving control lines in the Fishhook Creek drainage, aiming to tie into natural features with vital support provided by scoopers and aviation resources. Suppression actions will aid in protecting the Redfish Lake Recreation Complex and associated structures on the north end of the lake. Structure protection and contingency groups have completed prepping Redfish Lake Recreation Complex infrastructure and are prepping the historic Stanley Ranger District headquarters, employee housing, and associated infrastructure, as well as Iron Goat Creek subdivisions. Garfield County has reached a $2.5 million settlement for the family of a man who was dead in the jail for more than 18 hours before jailers discovered his body. 36-year-old Kyle Lara died in the jail in Pomeroy in 2022. Garfield County is one of the smallest counties in Washington in terms of population, with an estimated population of 2,363 in 2022. It's located west of Clarkston. The spokesman review reports attorney Ryan Dreviskratch wrote in a news release, the family of Kyle Lara agreed to a settlement that a court approved Monday. The family filed an $8.5 million claim against the county last year. Lara was housed alone in a basement cell in the courthouse that was built in 1901 after expressing suicide ideation. Dreviskratch said he believes the settlement is the largest settlement with a municipality for an in-custody suicide in state history. Jailers had served Lara 2 meals before they noticed he had hung himself. Garfield County closed the jail in March and sent its current inmates to the Whitman County Jail in Colfax. The county is also now making use of the Walla Walla County Jail in Walla Walla. The settlement requires the county not to reopen the jail unless it complies with state and federal regulations and the jail staff undergoes state corrections training. The Spokane City Council voted Monday night against a resolution from two conservative city council members to start enforcing the city's new anti-camping ordinance. Despite voting mostly for mayor and city council candidates who opposed the proposed ordinance, voters approved the ordinance by a wide margin in November. Proposition 1 forbids camping anywhere within 1,000 feet of a park, school, or licensed daycare, which means it covers most of the city of Spokane and almost all of downtown. The Trump Supreme Court ruled June 28th that laws prohibiting homeless people on public property do not amount to cruel and unusual punishment. That camping ruling overturned a 2018 Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling in Martin versus the City of Boise, which prohibited cities in western states from enforcing camping, lying, and sleeping bans unless there are enough shelter beds available in the city for the homeless population. While conservative Spokane Mayor Nadine Woodward was in office last fall, Spokane joined with 20 Western cities calling on the Supreme Court to overturn Martin versus Boise. The Spokane City Council voted 4-3 Monday night against a resolution from council members Jonathan Bingle and Michael Cathcart calling for enforcement of the new ordinance. Bingle said he offered to withdraw his resolution if the administration of new mayor Lisa Brown published a statement committing to enforcement of the ordinance, but that did not happen. Bingle said before the vote, "This resolution just says we are doing the will of the people and are enforcing what 74% of Spokane voters voted for. All I can surmise from this is we actually don't want to enforce Proposition 1. Councilmember Kitty Klitsky, who voted against, said, "We need to do this in a mindful and collaborative way, and governing by resolution doesn't normally work that way." You're tuned in to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by the Moscow Food Co-op, specializing in food, goods, and programs that nourish and nurture our community. The Moscow Food Co-op is located at 121 East 5th Street. For more information, visit moscowfood.coop, call 882-8537, or find them on Facebook. KRFP is also sponsored by
Tie-Dye Everything, with locally made tie-dyed items, incense, and other accessories. Tie-Dye Everything is located near 6th Street at 527 South Main Street in Moscow. For more information, you can find Tie-Dye Everything at tiedye-everything.com.
The owners of Pullman Building Supply say they will close the store in Pullman at the end of November. Moscow and Pullman Building Supply said in a news release the store on U.S. Highway 95 north of Moscow will remain open. Pullman Building Supply was billed as a home improvement superstore with 40,000 square feet of retail space and an 80,000 square foot warehouse. The Moscow location has 28,000 square feet of retail space and a 65,000 square foot drive-in lumber yard. The news release says the demand for a Pullman Building Supply store does not exist, quote, to a substantial extent. Moscow Pullman Building Supply has operated a Pullman store since 1996 and opened its latest location near Walmart at 400 Southeast Fairmont Road in 2015. Moscow Building Supply has been open since 1958. The announcement changes the home improvement retail market as Home Depot is planning to build a store behind the Palouse Empire Mall in Moscow. Consultants with Welch Comer of Coeur d'Alene will give an update on the ongoing project downtown construction at the Pullman City Council meeting tonight. Downtown businesses remain open while Main Street is torn up and all vehicular traffic that would normally go down Main Street is diverted onto Paradise Street. Project Downtown is expected to be finished by October. The Pullman Council will also vote tonight on updating city code to align with modified small works contracting requirements the Washington legislature recently approved. The council will also vote on approving the submittal of settlement participation forms to receive funds from the nationwide opioid lawsuit decision as it pertains to Kroger, which is a supermarket chain that includes pharmacies. The city of Pullman has already submitted a settlement agreement participation form for the distribution of funds from retail outlets that sold opioids such as Walmart, Teva, Allergan, CVS, and Walgreens. The council will also vote on accepting the base bid from Fidelity Solutions for installation of a pager alert system at the fire station. The Pullman Council will also vote on accepting and executing a potential Washington Transportation Improvement Board grant for resurfacing Orchard Drive and Valley Road. The Pullman City Council will meet at 7 p.m. tonight at City Hall.
The University of Montana is leaning into traditional gender stereotypes to attract male students, whose enrollment numbers have been lagging. The school's research found many of the men who considered applying are interested in hunting, fishing, and other outdoor activities. The university's enrollment has dropped from 16,000 to about 10,000 over the last decade, and nearly two-thirds of the students enrolled now are women. UM's admissions director, Kelly Nolan, says the school is taking an unabashedly traditional approach to closing the gender gap.
We decided to start crafting some of our messaging, adding in images of more traditionally stereotypical masculinity, adding in lumberjacks, talking about our logging sports. We talk a lot about our rivers and fishing.
UM crafted its marketing materials based on input from male students who chose to attend. Nolan says while spring enrollment numbers are not complete, the gender gap is closing slightly. The National Student Clearinghouse Research Center says the number of men enrolled in college nationwide has dropped by almost 6% in the last 5 years and comprises a record low 41% of students. Nolan says many prospective male students reported not feeling emotionally ready to leave home when it came time to attend college, a sentiment that increased after pandemic-related lockdowns kept people close to home. But she says politics also play a role in the decision-making process, which makes fulfilling the mission of making higher education available to everyone more challenging.
In Montana, since we have now become a genuinely red state, this is an issue since we see a lot of conservative men really questioning education, higher education, and whether or not they should continue on to college.
UM has released a video highlighting a class called Wild Sustenance, designed to appeal to prospective students who may be attracted to Montana's outdoor culture and learning how to hunt in culturally and environmentally sensitive ways. Support for this story was provided by Lumina Foundation. This is Mark Moran for Big Sky Connection.
Wyoming ranks 42nd in the U.S. for women's health and reproductive care, according to a new report, and some are urging lawmakers to make changes. According to a new state scorecard from the Commonwealth Fund, Wyoming ranks in the bottom 10 states on multiple indicators for women's health care. The state is especially low for rates of preventative measures, including cervical and breast cancer screenings and routine checkups. Rates of maternal deaths and infant mortalities in Wyoming are on par with national averages, but the state's birth rate itself is going down. Rebecca Hazelton with the Wyoming Women's Foundation says that's been hard on rural hospitals.
Those small maternity care centers are not really receiving enough births in their care in order to keep up their core competencies and have enough staff as well.
Hazelton says that makes it economically challenging for hospitals to provide maternal health services. There were just over 6,000 births in Wyoming in 2022, a 20% decrease from 2012. Another low score is on women's health coverage, access, and affordability. Hazelton says access to specialists can be minimal in a rural state, and then there's health coverage. Wyoming is one of only 10 states that hasn't yet expanded Medicaid.
That leaves a significant amount of the population in the gap not able to pay for health care out of pocket and not able to access health insurance.
Hazelton says she hopes the Health and Labor Interim Committee discusses potential solutions at its upcoming meeting, including training and certifying more nurse midwives and improving relations between hospitals, lay midwives, and doulas. I'm Kathleen Shannon reporting for Wyoming News Service.
Yellowstone National Park has closed the Biscuit Basin Thermal Area to tourists after what park officials said was a very powerful geyser eruption, which caused damage to a boardwalk in the area Tuesday. Biscuit Basin is very close to Old Faithful Geyser. A Park Service press release said today's explosion does not reflect activity within the volcanic system, which remains at normal background levels of activity. Hydrothermal explosions like that of today are not a sign of impending volcanic eruptions, and they are not caused by magma rising towards the surface. Yellowstone Volcano Observatory scientist in charge, Michael Poland, said the explosion has nothing to do with magma from the Yellowstone volcano. A video Los Angeles resident Vleda March posted on Facebook shows the eruption, which occurred at 10 a.m., sending black material 90 feet into the sky. Tourists watched in amazement and then fled down the boardwalk. A plume of steam rose higher and higher and spread across the upper geyser basin near the Old Faithful development at the heart of Yellowstone National Park. The Yellowstone National Park website said Black Diamond Pool, which may have been the location of Tuesday's eruption at Biscuit Basin, quote, erupted black murky water after an earthquake in July 2006, with several explosive eruptions in the following days. Eruptions continue to be infrequent since, with the last eruption observed in 2016. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area, it'll be mostly clear tonight and tomorrow. Low 56, high 92. 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before midnight Wednesday night. Partly cloudy, low 54. And sunny on Thursday, high 76. West winds 10 to 15, gusts up to 30. Clear skies Thursday night and breezy, low 46. West winds 15 to 20, becoming light southwest after midnight with gusts up to 30. And mostly clear weather Friday and Saturday, high 81 Friday, 84 on Saturday with a low of 48 Friday night. Current temperature is 84 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, talk shows, and music that you hear every day here on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can go to the KRFP.org website to find out more ways to help KRFP or send a donation to KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho 83843. I'm Lee Robartis, and acknowledging Brenda Cox and Drew Matai, who contributed to last night's and this morning's newscasts. Have a good night. Coming up, Flashpoints. That'll be followed by Rude Awakening live on the air with some interviews and interesting discussion tonight, 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. At 9:30, Brent Benson to play music for you, and we'll have another episode of the Intercepted Podcast at 11 p.m. tonight. Music, information, and entertainment throughout the evening here at KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online. Have a good night.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored in part by Hungadunga Brewing Company of 333 North Jackson Street in Moscow. Hungadunga features live music, special events, fine food, and craft beers. At hungadungabrewing.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
KRFP supports progressive values, including multiculturalism and environmentalism.